I'm pulling out my own wallet right now.
Ow.
Hey, Debbie, you've been working with Ixman Mortgage for quite a while, handling insurance for new mortgage loan, what do you call them? Mortgage loanees?
Lendees?
Borrowers.
Neither a borrower nor a loanee be, as Shakespeare said.
So, baloney.
It like to work with Ixman Mortgage closely time after time, and why the heck do you keep doing it? Haven't you learned your lesson by now?
Well, after all, a lot of times when clients come to me, they're already in that process of possibly having a mortgage person that they've been working with or they might possibly be considering, and I ask for the opportunity for them to get a competitive quote and actually to talk him to the fact that I know that he has the availability of a lot of different avenues that he can help people. So what I've learned out of it from my clients, and of course I'm going by my clients, and they've got real positive feedback, and that's that. They actually can find rates that apparently others can't, and they're also very quick to take care of them, and they handle everything as quickly as possible, and they handle everything for them. And believe me, one of my big pet peeves is competency, so that's extremely important to me. So if I refer someone to someone, they've got to provide that service, and that's what I found happen. At least that's the feedback that I get from my clients.
Program after program, Bob, people in your industry and affiliated industries keep saying good things about your company, Ixman Mortgage. How can you afford to keep writing all these checks?
No, I was going to say, it's amazing what taxidermy does. Oh, wait, that was my line last week.
Bribery.
And rank the dog bribery. Still looks exactly the same.
Really? No, he's merely stunned. That's it.
So what do you, Bob, have to say about Debbie that's good and would make people want to call Debbie Gore Agency?
Well, she answers her darn phone, and that's very important in this business. And she will talk to you and explain to you things about insurance. See, I don't know diddly about insurance. I just know it's an expense that I kind of feel like I have to pay. So if you have someone who knows a whole lot about the industry and can explain to you why you're paying, what you're paying, sometimes that helps. Also, there are details with regard to every type of policy that you have to do. And those are the details. The devil is in the details. Heaven is in the details. The details will bite you in the butt. Well, you're talking to a very butt-bitten person here. By details.
Luckily, this is not television, and we don't have to see the scars.
You better thank the Lord.
I was trying not to get that visual there. Yeah.
It's too late for us. Save yourself.
Yeah. You would claw your eyes, but oh well.
What's the biggest policy you ever wrote, Debbie? Because we love statistics here on this program. We love to be bowled over by giant numbers.
Yes.
Wow. So you're talking about in terms of the amount of dollars I wrote a 300-person plan group health at one point in time, so that's a lot of employees, so that turned into a large dollar. I don't know if you can really compute it into dollars per se. Everybody has different risks, so the dollars protect those risks. So you can determine that. That's kind of an ambiguous question.
Well, I'm leaning forward toward disasters here, and
I'm
trying to figure
out,
if somebody died or a building fell down, how many millions would have to be paid? That's the number I'm looking for.
Well, okay, let's talk. Okay, so we're talking about property casualty and losses. As a matter of fact, last year, with the storms that hit and them coming into areas that they weren't in anticipation of them coming into, the insurance industry really was in anticipation of millions of dollars worth of losses, and in actuality, there were actually billions of dollars worth of losses. So there are huge casualties when we have these storms and such.
Well, I'm told that actually a disaster can sometimes be good for an insurance company, even when it has to pay out, because it gives them an excuse to raise their rates. Is that true?
Wow. Gosh, no, I've never... I don't know who's saying that, but no, I haven't heard that one. And no, that's true. It's all based upon risk. And obviously, as I tell everyone, that insurance companies are a profitable business. They're not a charity organization. And unfortunately, when the risk is there, they have to be compensated to pay for all of those risks. So that's where a lot of the increases might come upon, insurance policies going up. Plus, another thing I try to people, especially like when in your auto and things of this nature, it's not that your insurance premiums go up per se. It's that you lose discounts because there's a lot of things involved with your policies. and a lot of which is a lot of discounts that you're eligible for. So when things happen to you, you know, for example, claim-free, not having accidents or things of this nature, or things not having happening to you, then actually what happens is those discounts fall off, and it seems as though to the consumer, obviously, that their premiums have gone up.
So the old saw about the fellow who's gone and had nothing happen to him through his whole life, yet his rates go up, and the agent tells them, well, it's because you're due?
Right.
This is not true, then, I'm guessing.
No, and I mean, obviously, costs, again, they're businesses, and they have cost of operating that business. So there may be increases in that sense. And of course, insurance is extremely complicated. There are so many factors that come into play that create that premium dollar that consumer pays. Mm. A lot of it is, you know, just pay attention to trying to do all the things that safeguard you from having, you know, the types of casualties. You know, try and be a safe driver. Well, of course, we can't do anything about the storms. If we're lucky enough, we don't live in an area where it's going to happen to us. Things of this nature, you know.
So you're saying that Ben Roethlisberger would have a hard time getting a new motorcycle policy and that a new homeowner's policy is out of the question for Zarqawi.
Right. And I can no longer drive down Beltway 8 at 140 miles an hour naked with a rocket launcher.
Right. That'd be, you might be categorized as a little high risk there.
What was that old song? What was it?
It might charge you a little extra, Bob.
Yeah. My Maserati goes 185. I lost my license.
Now I don't drive.
All those things are relevant.
Well, absolutely. You should know about risk, Debbie, because you took a big one coming on this program today.
And that was kind of scary.
You ain't Indeed. Heard nothing yet. The FCC's got your phone number now.
I want to write your policy.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Debbie.
Very well.
We really appreciate it. Ta-ta for now.
All righty. You guys have a great day.
We'll do our best.